The Glen of Weeping was the name given to Glencoe in Scotland after the terrible massacre there in the year 1692. Some of you may have visited Glencoe over the years and are familiar with the story. The clan of the MacDonald the head of the MacDonald clan, was a very proud man. He was called MacIan, and he was very, very proud. The English government had issued a proclamation calling upon all rebel chiefs to take the oath of allegiance to King William before the 1st of January 1692. All who failed to do so would be treated as rebels, and they would be punished accordingly. Now, the chiefs of the various clans, knowing that failure to take the oath would be fatal, signed allegiance to William before that time expired. Proud MacIan, boasting that he would be the last to do so, waited until the very last day of the year, the 31st of December, when he realised that he had to appear in person before a magistrate in Inverary to take the oath. The awful folly of his delay suddenly dawned on him. For the task was nigh impossible due to the mountains being covered with snow, and he could never be there before the expiry date. He had to cross many mountains to make his way to that particular meeting place. But with great courage and with feverish haste, he set off in that direction. Exhausted, he struggled into Inverary on the 4th of January. The day of grace, or the deadline, was passed. He was simply too late. The governor of Scotland, he privately hated MacIan. In fact, he hated the whole MacDonald clan. And when he learnt that MacIan had not submitted at the appointed time, he secretly rejoiced and determined on the destruction of the whole MacDonald clan. Treachery and deceit marked that whole ruthless plan. A few weeks later, 120 soldiers led by a Captain Campbell arrived in Glencoe, appearing friendly and partaking of the hospitality of the MacDonalds. They remained there for 2 weeks. Then one cold February morning of snow and gale, the fatal blow fell. MacIan was shot dead. His wife suffered the same fate. And all 38 of the MacDonald clan were slain in cold blood that grim, snowy February morning. It was a terrible thing to do. What a plan. What a tragedy. Only the darkness and the blizzard enabled some to escape to tell the story. The solemn lesson of that fateful morning in Glencoe is told in two words. Too late. Too late. Now, there is a spiritual lesson from this horrific and tragic story. A spiritual lesson for men and women even to learn in this gospel meeting tonight. Because we all know that following hard on the heels of the harvest comes the winter time. It's approaching very, very swiftly. And the message I want to leave with you tonight in this gospel service is a very solemn message indeed. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before winter, before you pass over into the great eternity and your soul be lost forever in the blackness of a Christless hell. Don't be like that proud man, MacIan, who procrastinated and put off doing the right thing, and it cost him his life, and it cost him the lives of 38 members of his clan. Do thy diligence to come before winter. These were the words spoken by the Apostle Paul shortly before his death. 2 Timothy was the last book that came from the pen of the Apostle Paul. He's a prisoner in the city of Rome. Soon they will lead him out. Soon he will die. However, I want to lift these words out of their proper setting, proper context, and use them tonight as the basis of my gospel message. I believe them to be very appropriate for this meeting tonight, for following on hard on the heels of the harvest. The winter's coming. The long, dark winter is before us. Apply that spiritually. Now, three simple things I want to leave with you tonight from our text. First of all, there is the appeal Paul makes. He says, "Do thy diligence to come." Now, this was the appeal of a father figure, one who was separated from this young preacher of the gospel, Timothy. Paul was Timothy's father in the faith, and it would seem that he had the joy of pointing him to Christ. And Paul dearly loved this young man, and now, unfortunately, there was a great distance that separated them. The Apostle Paul was in Rome, and Timothy was in Ephesus. There was a great bridge that had separated these two great men of God. Now, Isaiah tells us, in Isaiah chapter 59, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." And that word "separated" means to divide, it means to sever. Remember what God did in the very beginning. God divided the light from the darkness. That's the picture, that's the figure. He separated the light from the darkness. The thought is of division, of separation. Now, people who live here in Northern Ireland are separated from people in Scotland. They're separated by the Irish Sea. And men and women in the gospel meeting tonight are separated from God by sin. And the Bible makes it clear, be sure your sin will find you out. So there was a great distance that separated the Apostle Paul from his son in the faith, Timothy. And Paul wanted to see him one last time before the time of his death. But there was this great distance that separated these two great men of God. The Apostle Paul wanted a reunion. He wanted to see this young man once again before he died. That's the reason why he invited him to come. In the same way, the Lord desires sinners to be reconciled to him. I know two sisters, and they had a disagreement, and they were separated for years. They didn't talk to one another for many, many years, not until one of their husbands died. And it took the death of one of their husbands to bring the two sisters together again. It took the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross to bridge the gap between a sin-hating God and sinners. And through his work on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ has done all that is necessary, all that was required of him as our substitute, to make an atonement for sin, that he might bring nigh sinners to God, that they might have forgiveness and be at peace with God, and at the end of the journey of life go to be with him in heaven, which is far better still. And tonight, if you are still in your sin, you're separated from God. And if you continue separated from God in this life, without repentance, without seeking the Lord, before you die, then you will remain separated from him for all of God's great eternity. In the darkness, some people say to me, "Well, all my friends will be there, and we will have a jolly good time." That's a lot of nonsense. Hell is a place of eternal loneliness, a place of eternal separation, place of eternal darkness, pain and agony and suffering, forever and ever lost in the darkness, a perishing soul never going out of existence, damned to eternity. But in the Word of God, there is an appeal to come and taste and see that God is good. There is an appeal made to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before winter, before it's too late. That invitation comes found many, many times in the Bible. In fact, it is found about 600 times, believe it or not. But the first time it's used in the Bible is in the story of Noah and his family. You know how God told Noah to build the ark, and that ark was a type of Jesus Christ. And this was a place for them to enter into to be saved from the wrath and the judgment of God that was coming upon the world. And there's a day of judgment coming, a day of wrath, when God will come to judge men and women by that man that went to Calvary's cross. And when the ark was finished, the word of God that came from the inside, and the point is this, God was in Christ reconciling men to himself. The voice was heard from the inside, and the message was, come thou and all thy family and enter into the ark. And that voice can be heard tonight in this meeting. Come now, enter in and be saved. There's wrath, there's judgment to come. It was the invitation, it was simple. Remember what happened to Absalom, the son of David. David loved him. He was a sad young man. He was an evil young man. And when he died and the news came to David, this is what he said, a broken-hearted father. O Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. Why did he say that? Because he knew where his son was. He knew that his son was in hell. And had he died for him, David would have gone to heaven. But Absalom died and was lost. That's why the father lamented. Oh, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, there's an ark of salvation that has been prepared. Christ has finished the work. Upon the basis of that finished work being offered to God, he calls sinners to come and enter in and be saved. Come and enter in. You know, there's only one door in Noah's ark. It was put in the side of a vessel. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, he said, I am the door. I am the only door. I'm the only way. And by the way, there was only one window in the ark. It was up above. It was a light. And Jesus did say, I am the light of the world. So he's the light of the world, and he is the only door into this great salvation that has been purchased through his precious atoning blood. So there's only one way to escape the wrath of God. That's through the person and work of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, salvation was found in a place, but in the New Testament, salvation is found in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. I preached at a funeral of a grandfather of a young man who was incarcerated in the Mays prison. He was released for the funeral. It was a Tuesday, and on that Tuesday, he stood as close to me as that piano. I preached John 3:16 at the graveside. He heard the message. He went back into prison after the funeral. I was away preaching somewhere on the Lord's Day. When I returned, there was a phone call came in looking for me to go to the home. That young man had returned to the jail on Sunday morning. He hanged himself, and I buried him the next Tuesday. But he left no testimony behind. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before it's too late. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Who knows what might happen? Who knows what might happen to you? Who knows how suddenly death might come to you? Who knows how suddenly you might be removed from the scene of time to meet God? And if you're not in Christ, you'll perish eternally and be lost and damned eternally. There'll be no way back. This is gospel truth. This is not some figment of my imagination. This is something that's not something that the Free Presbyterian Church has concocted to hold people in their congregations. No, it's not. It's a message from God, and God is speaking tonight to you, showing to you the wonderful way of salvation. He heard the message, that young man. He was found dead in the cell. I just fear that he left it too late. He gave no evidence of repentance. You know what the Bible says? The Bible tells us in Isaiah that from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, there's no soundness of man, but is full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's deeply significant, because that almost describes the picture of a leper. And leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. There's a man in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, I think, who came to Jesus, and he was full of leprosy. From head to toe, he was full of leprosy. But you know, there was a ceremony that was performed in the Old Testament by a priest if a person recovered from leprosy. And that person had to be declared to be clean before the priest. And you know what was involved in that ceremony? The priest took the blood of the sacrifice and he applied it to the tip of the leper's right ear, the tip of the leper's right thumb. I can't get my toe up to show you my toe, but it was applied to the tip of the big toe in his right foot, signifying that the leper was now cleansed from head to toe by the blood of the sacrifice that points us to Jesus Christ. And men and women out of Christ are just like the leper, full of leprosy, but there is a provision made. You can be cleansed from head to toe in the atoning blood of Christ and be declared to be clean in the sight of God. And then on the blood there was applied the oil for healing. The Holy Spirit coming into a life to empower that life to live for God for the glory of the Savior's name. The blood speaks of forgiveness and the oil speaks of spiritual healing. Have you been healed by the grace of God? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know what it is to be right with God? Do you know what it is to be saved from your sin? To be justified, to be declared righteous before the bar of God? Is it well with your soul? How do you sleep at night? As you lay your head down in the pillow, do you ever fear that you might not awaken? There is the appeal that he makes here. Do thy diligence to come. But then there is the advice Paul gives. He says here, do thy diligence to come. And the word diligence means to make haste. It has a secondary meaning, to exert oneself or to make the effort. And Paul advised Timothy, therefore, to hurry up. If you're going to come, Timothy, hurry up. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Be urgent about the matter. Make haste. There's no time to waste. I remember many years ago there was a man in Omagh, and he was drunk. And someone handed him a gospel tract. And he said he would think about it. He would read it. I don't know if he ever did read that or not, but I do know that a few days later he was killed in a drunken state on a busy road out into eternity. And the Bible does say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And that implies that a time may come when you will not be able to seek the Lord. I've gone to see people over the years who left it ever so late. And when the family called for me, they were not able to speak to me or even to hear me. I can remember going into one man in particular. I talked to him many, many times about the things of gospel, of the gospel. We talked on many occasions. And then suddenly I received a telephone call. I rushed into the hospital urgently to see him. But he couldn't see. He couldn't talk. And I presented the gospel again. And I just said, if you've heard me, if you're prepared to trust in Christ, just squeeze my hand. I felt my hand being squeezed. I don't know what that meant. I don't know if he was telling me that he was able to hear me or if he had trusted in Christ. Don't leave it too late. Don't leave it to the last minute. There's only one man that we read of in the Bible who got saved at the 11th hour. Just one. This could be your 11th hour. You could be living the 11th hour right now. And you can leave the house of God, have a crash, and be suddenly ushered out into eternity. It's happened before. People have died in church before, you know. They've gone out into the great eternity. Strive to enter in, says Luke, at the strait gate. And that word strive is an interesting word. It means to agonize. As one who is striving to win the gold medal in some particular race there at the Olympics. You see, he's putting all or her energy into striving to pass over that line first, to gain the prize, to win the prize. Agonizing. Now, in Bible times, the cities had gates and they had walls, and the gates were usually closed at sunset. And to let the people know who were traveling, who wanted to be inside the city before the gate was closed, the trumpet was sounded. So you take a traveler who's been away in business, he wants to get inside the safety of the city before the gates close. He hears the sound of the trumpet. What does he do? He agonizes to enter in. I must get in through the gate before the gates close. That's the picture. That's the figure we have here before us. If you want to be saved, you've got to strive to enter in. You've got to seek the Lord urgently. You've got to do it tonight. You've got to do it now. Right now. Don't delay. It's right now, before the gate closes. There's a sense of urgency. I must get in before the gate closes, before it's too late. Timothy had a decision to make, to depart to meet Paul or to stay where he was. And you have to make a decision tonight whether to repent of your sins and come to Christ or remain in your sins. Continue on to meet God. I'm calling you to decide tonight. Remember Elijah as he went to Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18. He faced the prophets of Baal. He faced the people of Israel. And he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long have you been halting? You know what that word halt means? It means to totter. I've already spoken about a drunk man. Well, that's what it means. You see a drunk man? He's going to this side. He's going to this side. He's tottering about. He's going from side to side. And there may have been times in the past when you were moved of God and you felt, yes, it was the right thing for you to seek the Lord. And then you changed your mind. And you went back again. You've hardened your heart. He that been often reproved, hardeneth his heart, shall suddenly be destroyed. And not without remedy. Oh, you've been tottering about for years, from side to side. What happened to the prophets of Baal after they heard that challenge from God's servant? Elijah told those his servants to take the false prophets down to the brook and to put them to death. Let not one of them escape. This was the judgment of God, you see. And not one of them escaped. They didn't come when they had the chance, and they didn't come at all. A young woman attended a gospel mission many years ago. And on the final night of the mission, she wrote her decision in the fly leaf of the hymn book. The mission ended. The preacher moved to a different location. And that young lady took ill, became very seriously ill. Someone told the preacher he came back to see her, to visit her. He went into the house to see her. She was not impressed. She was not pleased to see him. And he appealed with her to trust in Christ. And she said, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I wrote my decision down in the fly leaf of the hymn book. And the mother put the preacher out. He went to the little hall. He searched the hymn books. And he came to the particular one he was looking for. And in the fly leaf of the hymn book, these were the words she had written. I'll take my chance, I'll run the risk. And before the preacher got back into the house again, she was gone, hard in her sin, a rebel to the very end. She missed that golden opportunity. And some of you might miss that golden opportunity. Some of you might leave again tonight and harden your heart for the last time. And God might never speak to you again. And if God never speaks to you again, you'll be left in the darkness. And you'll go out into the darkness. And God will never, as we would say, lift a finger to help you or to deliver you or speak to you again. You can commit the unpardonable sin and go on out into the darkness and be damned forever. But there's mercy with God. there is a Saviour from sin. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you? And then finally, there's the argument that Paul uses. He says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Why? Because between November and May, the Mediterranean Sea was closed to navigation in those times. The journey would be too dangerous. Travel would not be safe. It would be virtually impossible. This was the year about 67 AD. So Paul was actually saying, you better come before winter or you might not be able to come at all. It will be too dangerous to sail. Sailing will be dangerous. There is danger and death and delay. That's the reason why Paul used this argument. You've got to come. You've got to show diligence to come to meet with me because winter is coming. Paul had experienced that same kind of thing traveling to Rome in Acts 27. And remember the time when sailing was dangerous. He suffered a shipwreck. I don't know if you've ever been in anything like that. Our brother mentioned the hurricanes there. It's a terrible thing to be in a hurricane. We were in three of them. It's unbelievable. You hear that roar coming from a distance. The lights all go out. There's not a sound in the house. The wireless is off. The TV's off. The roar. And you just feel when it crosses over, it's going to lift the roof of the house. It's a fearful thing. That roar's coming. You go out in the morning time. You see 40-foot containers lying tumbled over. Trees are down. Cars are turned over. Unbelievable, a mess. You see it for yourselves in the news these past days. But I want to tell you about a judgment far worse than that that is coming. And God comes in all of his mighty power. God is not one to be fooled with. God's not one to be toiled with. God is coming in judgment. That's the reason why you need to prepare. Now, the Bible tells us that ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. They prepare for winter. And we must prepare now for eternity. If these tiny creatures could become evangelists, what would their message be? I tell you what it would be. Prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet God. Remember, Jonah was down in the sides of the vessel, and the ungodly sea captain approached him. Here's an ungodly man reproving this prophet of the Lord. What are you doing down there? Awake, thou that sleepest. That was the message. Awake, thou that sleepest, and call upon thy God. That's some good advice, is it not? Remember the story of Joseph, and with this I close. Joseph was sold by his brothers. For 13 years he suffered in and out of prison. The time came when he was exalted. That's a figure and type of Christ. Christ was the beloved son. Christ was sold for silver, rejected by his brethren. He's cast into the pit of death. He was raised and exalted to God's right hand. That's all of a foreshadowing of Christ in the story of Joseph. He's a wonderful type of Christ. But remember the time when he was exalted. And there was preparation during the years of plenty for the years of famine that were coming. And he filled the storehouses. And then at the appointed time, he opened the storehouses. When the people came to Pharaoh looking for food, for grain, what was his message? Go to Joseph. But our Lord Jesus Christ has opened the storehouses of God's grace. And the message in the gospel is, go to Jesus. He has made the provision. Joseph became the Savior of Egypt. And Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. Conies make their houses in the rocks. They're exposed to the dangers. Therefore, they creep away into the very rocks and they find a hiding place there, a place of safety. They get behind these huge boulders. And they put the boulders between them and danger. Toplady's hymn, Rock of Ages, familiar to us all, was written when he was caught in a storm and found shelter in the rock. And Charles Wesley was inspired to write Jesus, lover of my soul, when a bird flew in through the window and found a resting place in the safety of his waistcoat. Have you found that place of safety? Have you decided to come to Christ? The message is, do thy diligence to come to Christ before winter. Winter's coming, judgment day's coming. And so here we have the last words of the Apostle Paul. He begins with grace and he ends with grace. Harvest is past, the summer's ended, and you're still not saved. I don't know if Timothy ever made it to see Paul. I couldn't say that for sure. But I know that one morning Paul was called to come forth. The guards conducted him to a certain appointed place. Paul kneeled down, and the executioner executed the servant of God. And he died. I thought that would get your attention. That's the way the Lord's going to come. Just like that. And you'll not have a chance to do anything about it. Eternity where? Where will your soul be in eternity? The moment Paul closed his eyes in death, he went directly into the presence of God. And one day, when the Lord comes, at the end of all history, the Lord's bringing with him a great congregation of people. And the dead in Christ will be raised, and the souls of those coming when the Lord comes will be reunited with their bodies again in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, not at any moment, in a moment of time, that is. All of the saints of God will be changed in a moment of time, will be given new bodies to go into the presence of the great King, to see him eternally. But if you are still in your sin, you will receive a body especially prepared for eternity in the darkness, always burning but never going out of existence, always in turmoil but never out of existence, a body specially prepared by God for the unconverted, never out of existence, going on and on and on and on, tormented forever. And tonight is only a prayer away. There's mercy available, salvation full and free. Why not come tonight? Why not take this good advice and do thy diligence to come before winter? May God be pleased to bless his word. We'll bow for a moment in prayer.